for all the news you need to know. Welcome to the Beautiful Butterfly Show, where great people and great topics are brought together for stimulating and thought-provoking conversation, brought to you by the Vibration Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. I want to say happy Thursday to you folks out there listening. Hey, the week is almost over, you guys. Also, I hope you're wrapping it up on a good note. But no matter what, keep grinding to the end, you guys. I'm excited, folks. We got a new guest here on the show this evening, you guys. We got Kappa Theta Epsilon in the building, Sorority Incorporated, excuse me, in the building this evening, you guys. And our special guest, Amnator, is going to be joining us, and she's going to be telling us about this sorority, the purpose of it, their mission out here in the community and in the world. I definitely think you guys are going to be enlightened, educated, and informed, as we always like to do over here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show. And as always, I encourage you guys to go download our app. That's YRN1328, available on your iPhone and your Android, so you can listen not only to the Beautiful Butterfly Show, but to all of the awesome hosts that we have over here on your radio network. And also make sure you share the show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. I'll let everybody know that Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated is on the show tonight, you guys. And if you're out there, you got a question or a comment, feel free to call in. The number is 347-326-9139. And all you have to do is press the number 1, and we'll be happy to bring you on in here so you can join the party with us, you guys. And so we're not going to delay any further, you guys. We're going to bring Amnator on here so she can tell us all about this awesome, awesome sorority, you guys. So here we go. Amnator, are you there?
I am. Hello. Hi.
Bianca. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I hope I said the name right. Am I right?
You're close. It's Amnator.
Amnator. See, I was trying to be, like, I guess, sophisticated with it, like real.
It's okay. You did great. You're much closer than you're much closer than most people, so it's okay.
So it's Amnator.
Right, Amnator.
Amnator. Okay, I got you. Amnator. Okay. Amnator. Okay, so I got you. So, of course, welcome to the show. I'm definitely excited about having you on the show here tonight as well. And I know a lot of people have been hitting me up about this sorority and want to know about it and so forth. So tell us a little bit about Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated and how it came about.
Sure, it would be my pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Thanks once again, Bianca. And Kappa Theta Epsilon is a sorority specifically geared to lesbian, professional, and pre-professional women. Women who are starting their own businesses or out there in the corporate world making moves. It's for women who are really passionate about creating their best lives and then going out into the community and helping others. Our whole goal is to really impact the lives of women through the experience of sisterhood. We have four founding tenets. They are sisterhood, accomplishment, fidelity, and service. So we're committed first and foremost to each other as sisters and then to the community at large. And making the world better for LGBTQ people and then impacting the larger community as best we can as well.
Awesome, awesome. So, of course, I'm intrigued by how did – because a lot of the sororities that we know you know, AKAs and Deltas and Theta, all those different type of sororities. But to my surprise, I have never heard of a sorority specifically, as you stated, for lesbian women. So what was the motivation behind creating one specifically for lesbian women, professional women?
Great question. I actually happen to be a member of a Divine Nine sorority, one of the ones you mentioned.
Okay.
And that's been it's been a fantastic experience for me. I absolutely love my sorority. They're wonderful people.
Right.
And it enriched my life greatly during my undergrad years and up until today. But the whole motivation behind creating something that is specifically for women who happen to be a part of the LGBT community was to really give them that opportunity to experience sisterhood in a way that embraced them in every area of their lives.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, my sisters, my sorors, and my Divine Nine have been, you know, incredibly welcoming and accepting of me, but, you know, that's not the case for everyone in every organization, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I was going to say that because a lot of times, from what I've heard of people who had those experiences is that being in other sororities and so forth, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of things are kind of on the hush-hush. You know, you don't really, people don't really talk about it. You know, if they, even if they know that you might be a lesbian, nobody's going to address it or, you know, have those type of conversations. So you're kind of, you know, kind of segregated in a way. I mean, you're a part of a sisterhood, but at the same time, you don't really, you don't really have anyone that you can talk to, you know, about the things that you might be experiencing and so forth. So I actually think this is a great avenue, as you said, to have that sisterhood where you can have those conversations about, you know, what's going on with each other specifically.
Absolutely. And you make up some, you bring up some great points. Like, with the Obergefell decision last year, June 26th, coming up on our first year anniversary at being legally able to marry in this country, that's a thing that people have to think about. If you are part of a Divine Nine organization and you are married, do you want to, you know, do you feel comfortable with bringing your wife or husband to a sorority or fraternity event? That's not something that we really have a concern with over here because everyone has the same experience. We share life experiences and share those milestones with each other as far as, you know, you're getting married or the birth of your first child or going through, you know, fertility treatments together or, you know, the things that every couple goes through that someone who happens to be heterosexual might not have a frame of reference for. And beyond that, it's really an opportunity for those of us who are out here and creating successful lives as LGBT people to give back to the younger generation of people in a way that we might not have had the opportunity to experience when we were growing up. I know for me, when I came to that place of being like, okay, something is different, you know, I don't know what it is, that sort of thing. I didn't have role models who I could look up to and say, that's a successful woman of color who happens to have the same romantic attraction as I do. And I really...
I wanted to ask you specifically, as you mentioned, I wanted you to talk to listeners as well about that because for me, everybody knows, as I always say, I'm like this recovering reality show junkie of watching all these different reality shows. But on Love & Hip Hop, there is a transgender on there. And she talked about having that difficulty having that dialogue with her family growing up. And so I wanted to ask you, getting to that point where, as you said, you noticed that there was something different. How was that conversation, especially when it comes to being in an African-American family? Because that's kind of, you know, this topic is kind of taboo, you know, specifically in the African-American communities. We know, you know, we might know that, you know, we have a lesbian or we have, you know, a gay lesbian or something in our family, but nobody addresses it. You know, it's just like, okay, we're not gonna say anything about this. So for you, did you find it difficult, you know, personally for yourself?
Oh, wow. Such an interesting question. ironically, my family is originally from the South.
Okay.
A lot of my family was in New York. Now we're all up the East Coast. But most of my family is still based in the South. And my family is very staunchly Christian. And, you know, I grew up, I was in church every Sunday, all day Sunday. On Wednesdays, I was at Bible study.
We had choir practice on Saturday.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm from that family, you know.
Yeah.
My uncle's a preacher. My mom is a mother of a church. You know, that sort of thing.
Wow. Yeah.
And one thing that I can tell you, Bianca, that I'm incredibly grateful for is the fact that my family was so completely open and accepting of me.
That's awesome.
And I was so fortunate in that way. I brought my girlfriend at the time home for Christmas. We'd stayed in Atlanta for Thanksgiving before that, and I told my mom, well, you know, I'm going to bring my roommate home for Christmas. And when they saw us, they just knew. My family just knew. It wasn't a big deal. And, you know, the only thing my mom ever said about it was we were walking up the driveway one night while I was there, and she said, well, I never had any trouble out of you with boys. And that was it. That's the only thing my mom has ever said about it. And, you know, I mean, they just fell in with it. I mean, you know, they would call and ask how she was doing and how things were and how our dog was. I mean, my family was just completely open and accepting from day one. And, you know, I realize how much of a gift that is, how much of a blessing.
Absolutely.
Because so many people don't have that experience. And there are children, you know, teenagers out here who are, you know, their sexual orientation and gender identity are being disclosed without them being ready for it or them having the knowledge to approach their families about it. And, you know, they're ending up on the streets. And that's why we need organizations like Cafe Theta Salon, is to really give those children a haven and some support that they might not necessarily get anywhere else.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you said that because for me personally, I had a friend of mine who basically, you know, from middle school on up is when she discovered, you know, her feelings towards other girls and so forth. And so we're adults now, and that's still one of the hardest conversations for her to even have with her mom. You know, and it's sad because it's been so long, you know, and you would think that after a while, you know, things would change and perhaps. And so she talks about, you know, having that difficulty in being able to have that conversation with her mom because she would like to, you know, bring her girlfriend home to meet her mom, you know, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But because her mom is, you know, very, very old school and, you know, is just kind of, you know, like, you know, not willing to accept it really at all. And so when she has that conversation with her, she kind of changes it, you know, to something else. And so, you know, you do have a lot of people out here that it's still very difficult, you know, for them to have that conversations with their family. So
absolutely,
it is great that you have a sorority such as this that, you know, can help you through those moments as well. And you mentioned something a little while ago, especially pertaining to our youth. And I think it's so so great about this sorority, about getting out there with our youth, because now we're seeing a lot of our youth coming out, you know, saying that they're gay, saying that they're lesbian, but their parents are like, okay, I don't know what to do with this, you know, I don't know how to have this conversation and this dialogue. And so, how have you guys through your sorority been able to, you know, find the ways to connect with the youth and get them to the point where they, you know, are comfortable enough to talk about, you know, certain things with you guys?
Great question. Well, at the moment, our base of operations is predominantly Atlanta, Georgia. So there are a plethora of organizations and, you know, nonprofits here. Chris Kids is incredible. You know, there are several others that work with LGBTQ youth. There are some phenomenal ones in you know, the Chicagoland area, Illinois, Texas, that absolutely do fantastic work with kids this age.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is really important and that we've really found to be important is visibility and just, you know, being out there and letting kids know that there is someone out here who loves and accepts you exactly as you are,
right.
that you have a support system. If there is someone that you know, that needs to reach out or needs some support, needs encouragement or access to resources, then we have that available. We have contact information on our website for anyone who really is looking to kind of find a support system that
right.
whether they're youth or, you know, a 40-year-old woman who is really just coming
mm-hmm.
to terms with her own sexual identity
right.
and
yeah.
looking for a place where she can be supported. So,
right.
you know, our passion really runs the gamut. Of course, we're passionate about the next generation of LGBTQ leaders out there. But, I mean, you know, it's never too late to be who you might have been. So, I mean, we have the same message for women who are 67 years old and have been married
right.
in the last 40 years and get divorced or who knows what
yeah.
someone's story
right.
is. But,
right.
you know, if you need a support system and encouragement, we're here. That's our message.
Right.
We are here.
Yeah.
We are happy with ourselves, accepting of ourselves. And there is a long lineage of women who have, you know, impacted both the LGBT community and the mainstream community. That's what
right.
our legacy series this year was all about during Black History Month, was LGBTQ icons, specifically lesbian
oh, wow.
icons, who
mm-hmm.
are women of color, and we did a video series around that, just to have it out there. So if they never
yeah.
contact us ever, you know, if they have no interest in knowing more about our organization or whatever,
right.
you know, you can go out on YouTube and find information we put out there just to spread the word and say, hey, you're not alone. There are phenomenal
yeah.
people who've walked this path before you,
right.
and, you know, be encouraged. So,
right.
you know, that's
Absolutely.
What we're out here trying to do.
and I think that's one of the main things that adults and youth struggle with, you know, in that process of thinking that they are alone, you know, that they're
mm-hmm.
the only person who has kind of dealt with this and not realizing, like, it's been, you know, so many women, and as you mentioned, legacies, to, you know, go through these different things and speak on this topic and so forth. And so I wanted to ask you, what do you believe for you personally? What are some of the unfortunate stereotypes that you believe that people have when it comes to Black lesbian women? Because a lot of times you have, and I've heard all kind of things, you know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you hear what people say, well, if she just get a man, you know, if she just meets the right
mm-hmm.
man, she'll change,
mm-hmm.
you know, she hasn't right to met the right man yet and so forth. And so what do you think of some of the big, you know, stereotypes that people have?
Wow. How much time do we have, Bianca? I'm flabbergasted by some of the things that people believe
yes.
about, you know, what it is to be a woman of color and be lesbian identified out here.
Right.
I know just in my own experience and things that I deal with fairly regularly, and I find it humorous, is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, specifically for those of us who are femme-presenting or femme-identified women, is the whole you don't look like a lesbian thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I get all the time. but, you know, I'm always curious as to what specifically a lesbian looks like, but I
yeah.
have a general idea of what they mean by that. You know,
yeah.
like you're supposed to be very masculine
yeah.
presenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the same token, there is that whole, like, well, you know, you're just playing around until a good man comes along for you thing. You know, I get that experience, or I've heard that a lot, that people just think, like, well, she just needs to find a good man and she'll be all right. that, and, you know, that there's, like, some obsession with the physical for lesbians. Yeah. Like that's all we focus on. Like there's no real romantic connection, that it's all about, mm-hmm. you know, being promiscuous or whom you can sleep with, that sort of thing. And that's not, for me personally, that's not the case at all. This is, you know, long before, you know, physical attraction and sex entered into it for me at all. I just thought girls were beautiful. I was naturally attracted to them. So,
right.
you know, those are the sorts of things that you hear all the time. Like, oh, well, you know, mm-hmm. you just need to find a good man. Or, you know, you're just out here doing something, just being wild. It's a phase.
Right.
It'll pass. It's been an
right.
awfully long phase for me. So, you know, I guess that phase is going to continue on until I stop breathing. But, you know, you just do what you can to combat it. And, you know, that whole thing comes to, especially for femme-presenting women, it comes down to you really being able to assert yourself and being comfortable with being visible for who you actually yeah. are, whether it's in the workplace or your social interactions. So I encourage you, if you're out there and you are a feminine identified or a masculine identified woman who is hiding who you are, come on out of the closet, girl. We need you over here. We need yeah. you on the team.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about more of that. What I want to do is I want to take a little break and play some commercials so we can play some bills over here, you guys. But we're going to come back with more so you guys can learn even more about Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated, you guys. So we'll be back with more right here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show.
Are you looking for something to read that would take you to another place in time? Well, check out T.M. Brown's 5-star rated book, Struggles of the Women Folk. This is the story of Georgie. She is a young black girl growing up in the 1940s in a small rural town in Virginia. It is a time of prejudice and poverty. Life is hard for Georgie, and she dreams of better life. She experiences great loss, betrayal, and heartache. She loses friends and family, as well as the love of her life. And still, she remains strong. T.M. Brown's signature writing style is captivating in this emotional and inspiring story that has a gritty dialogue. You will find it difficult to stop reading once you begin. Purchase your copy today on Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, or through her website, www.authortmbrown.com. Again, that's www.authortmbrown.com. Please show your support for this emerging queen sister author.
Check out the creative work of the author, Trent Williams, of www.taylorkennedymedia.com. Chapter of the Delta gives us a peek at his life-changing events. And if that's not enough, Trent tells you more about his brothers and his life through memoirs in his book, The Four Horsemen. His blogs and daily stimulating quotes are published in his book, Life's Little Addiction. And when you have a need of some human coaching of life and relationships, take a look at Conversations with Trent, Volume 1 and 2, and Conversations with Trent, Limited Edition. You will find his works available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all online book retailers.
All right, and welcome back, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. We are on with a Monitore, you guys, of Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated, you guys. We've been having an awesome, awesome dialogue this evening, you guys. And once again, to the folks out there, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 347-326-9139 is the number. And, of course, Monitore, I wanted to ask you, a lot of people have been getting in a little uproar lately. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos that have went viral of certain lesbian sororities doing some of the, what they call the legendary fraternity dances lately. And so a lot of people are curious as to, do we believe that some of these lesbian sororities are kind of overstepping their boundaries by, you know, imitating what some of us have seen fraternities do for years?
Oh, no.
You can probably hang up and call back in.
Okay. Can you hear me?
All right, folks. I think we're having a little technical difficulty, but we're going to get Monitore back up here on the line shortly for you guys. But for the folks out there who are listening, make sure you share the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so you guys can be informed and educated as well, you guys. Monitore, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Okay, awesome. Did you hear my question before? I don't know if we got.
I didn't. I apologize. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. Okay, So I was talking about how a lot of people have been in discussion. I don't know if you've seen about some of the videos that have kind of been going viral over social media where you have certain members of the LGBT community doing some of the their fraternities and sororities imitating some of the dances that some of the fraternities have been known to do. And so people are asking, do we feel that, you know, the LGBT community, are they overstepping their boundaries by imitating some of these legendary fraternities that, that we've known?
Wow. Overstepping their boundaries.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to put it. I think that everyone has to find their own path, their own niche,
right,
in what it is that they're
right
doing. I haven't seen the videos yet or whatever is going viral. I'll have to ask you about it after we go off the air, but I haven't
okay
seen whatever is going around. But my hope is that whomever is out there and is in an LGBT organization, that their organization is committed to excellence and creating their own legacy and
right
tradition, you know,
right,
because I think that's important. Like, we need to define for ourselves
right
what it is that we are about.
Absolutely.
And as a part of a Divine Nine organization, like, I don't know, like, we had to kind of trudge our own path
yeah
way back over 100
yeah
years ago when we started.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm sure, you know, there are things that inspire all organizations. As
right
the Christian mantra goes, there's nothing new under the sun. But,
right,
you know, everybody makes their own path. Like, you
right
get inspired by something and you go out there and you put your own twist on it and you start your own tradition. And that's what makes it significant for you. So I don't know what's going around.
Okay.
I've talked lately, but
no, I'll definitely send you. I'll send you some of the clips. So you can check them out.
Yeah. I've been out of touch,
but
you know, I mean, you and I've been in conversation, you know, before, because
yeah
I've been on the road, but Yeah, my hope is that everybody is passionate about creating their own history and legacy for what it is that they are creating, and that they go out there and do amazing things, because we have the potential to do that.
Right. And I wanted to ask you, because, you know, with Kappa Theta Epsilon being an organization for professional women as well, I wanted to ask you, do you think that there is a bar that is being put in place that is making it hard for people to embrace lesbian women in the professional world? Do you think that people try to make it difficult for you to have businesses, you know, to have organizations?
I think that by and large, people fear what they don't understand or don't have a frame of reference for.
Right.
You know, anyone that is different from them, you know, it tends to be a challenge for people to be able to accept without some pushback initially.
Right.
I think what's wonderful about the time in which we live is the fact that there are so many positive references for us that are becoming more widely known in the mainstream. You know, a decade ago, who we are today would have been significantly more of a challenge. You know, it's become a part of popular culture. People are accustomed to seeing LGBT individuals, LGBT families in mainstream culture and popular culture. So I think that there is still a little bit of a barrier. We still have a lot of work to do. That's what we're so passionate about and why we have a social media campaign that we work on called More Than Marriage, because June 26th of last year was historic for us, but that's not the end of the story.
A little bit, the More Than Marriage campaign that you guys were doing.
Sure. Well, More Than Marriage was kind of a brainchild that came about after the Obergefell decision and, you know, the huge celebration that was going on, because there had been literally more than a decade of people who were activists and, you know, cultural scions saying this is the minimum bar that we need to meet. You know, we need to have marriage equality in this country. But after that, you know, the fight for civil equality for LGBTQ people kind of fizzled a little bit. It faltered. One of the things that we saw that was really important was the fact that we needed to make people aware of all of the other rights and privileges that we as citizens of the United States still don't have consistent access to. So, you know, we're really, really big on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, EMDA, and supporters of that, because in most of this country, you can still be fired from a job, refuse service at a hotel, not allowed into your partner's hospital room, simply based on the fact that you are a part of a same-gendered couple or a member of a same-gender-led family. And that's not okay. You know, like, marriage is great, but when you don't have access to basic civil liberties, marriage means nothing. You know?
And I think, I think, unfortunately, like, our government felt that if they made it, you know, if they made it okay to where, you know, same-sex couples could get married, then okay, fine. You know, we've solved that problem. But, like, as you mentioned, you know, having, you know, because I had a coworker who at one point in time it was a struggle for her even to get her partner on her insurance. mm-hmm. you know, for health insurance and benefits. And I had no idea that, you know, it was that kind of issue. And here where I am in North Carolina, you know, we're dealing with another issue because now it's just a big uproar about the bathroom situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the transgender is going into the bathroom. So everybody, you know, and so that's another thing that's going on here. But it's always interesting to me that I've learned over the years how many same-sex couples had been originally waiting for years. You know, I saw where some couples had been waiting 15, 20 years to be able to get married. You know, they
mm-hmm.
had been with each other just that long, you know, until the law was put in place. And like you said, it's so much out here that is out here that we are not aware of, whether that's a same-sex couple or heterosexual couple. It's just a lot of stuff implemented that we have no idea about, you know,
mm-hmm.
what our rights are, you know, because a lot of
mm-hmm.
times we don't read about it. The information is not put out there. And sometimes we lack the ability to do our own research, you know, when it comes to certain things.
And I think you bring up an excellent point, Bianca, is that there are so many things that people aren't necessarily aware of because
right.
it's not, like, something that's, you know, being touted in the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after marriage
right.
equality, it's like, you know, oh, we got the gay problem solved, you know? Like, that's all good. Gay people are good now, that sort of thing, until, you know, really, really far-right organizations and neoconservatives
mm-hmm.
started bringing up the bathroom issue and that sort of thing.
Right.
So people thought, oh, well, the gay problem is gone now. There's no gay
yeah.
issue anymore,
right.
Which simply isn't true. And that's why mm-hmm. a big part of our philanthropic platform as an organization is social impact and policy awareness, because
mm-hmm.
we need to be informed. And we need organizations
Absolutely.
And individuals who are leaders in our communities bringing these issues to the forefront. We need someone to consistently herald, hey, we got marriage, but that's not the end of the story. You know, we got the bathroom issue solved, hopefully, very soon, but we still have some issues. Or maybe we shouldn't be traveling to Tennessee or Mississippi right now. Or, you know, perhaps we need to keep the pressure on North Carolina, you know, and
yeah.
we do that
yeah.
by supporting each other and encouraging each other to get involved because numbers matter, right?
Absolutely.
We need
Absolutely.
The numbers. We need each other
yeah.
to really back our play. So as organizations, we need a cross-community, a cross-section of people who can step up and say, I'm willing to back what your organization is doing. You know, our
right.
organization supports this individual, whatever the case may be, to advance our cause. Because the cause is equality, and things that people originally thought would only affect the LGBTQ community, that's
right.
not the case. There are other people who are being directly affected by this that have nothing to do with, you know, being in a same-gender relationship. You know, in Tennessee,
Absolutely.
With all that they've got going on, you've got
yes.
single mothers that can be refused psychiatric
right.
services if someone
I mean, right.
opposes their lifestyle because they happen to be, you know, staunchly evangelical Christian. Like, there are people who are affected by issues and laws that were directed at us that aren't even
yeah.
aware that by voting
right.
for this, you're voting against your own self-interest. And
right.
we have to be willing to stand up and say, hey, we need a cross-section of people to be aware that this doesn't just affect us because, as Pat Parker said in her famous poem, you know, they'll come for us first. But when they're done
yeah.
with us, who are they coming for next? They're coming for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. And what I want to do is I want to take another short break. When I come back, I want to ask you about how important it is. We got this election coming up pretty soon. And as we can see, these political candidates have been interesting. So I want to talk to you about that and more about Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated. You guys stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more right here on The Beautiful Butterfly Show.
The Beautiful Butterfly Show would like to thank you for tuning in. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/ The Beautiful Butterfly Show. Also on Facebook.com/ The Beautiful Butterfly Show. And last but certainly not least, you can also catch up with us on Twitter. That's at Twitter.com/ The Beautiful Butterfly Show. And thank you once again for tuning in on behalf of the Vibration Radio Network.
Hey, y'all. It's Coach Michelle Jackson. And when I'm not busy coaching, motivating, or writing, I listen to Bianca Fly on The Beautiful Butterfly Show. Bianca Fly takes me high on The Beautiful Butterfly Show.
Hey, how you doing? This is K.L. Belvin, author, poet, publisher. And when I'm not on the road signing books, I make sure I tune into The Beautiful Butterfly Show, hosted by the one and only Beautiful Butterfly. Take care. Keep doing your thing, sis. We love you.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly, and we are joined this evening, you guys, by Monitor on here from Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated, you guys. And we have been talking about their mission, not only in the communities, but with the youth. And what they stand for, and getting out here and informing people, but also creating a sisterhood, a fantastic sisterhood of women that can come together to inspire and help each other grow. So I am definitely loving our dialogue tonight. And, of course, Omnitour, I asked you before the break about our current election that is coming up.
Yes, you did.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this upcoming election? What do we the people need to get out here and do to make sure that we end up in the right hands when this election is over and done with?
Wow. It's so funny you bring this up. I actually studied political science and finance in college. And This has definitely been one for the record books, I will say that.
Yeah.
And we are not even in the home stretch yet.
Right.
I will say, before I get started, that Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated is a nonprofit organization, and we do not endorse or suggest any particular candidate. Any opinion given is my own and does not represent the organization as a whole.
Great disclaimer.
I try. I like to get the legalese right.
Oh, yeah, got to. I definitely understand.
Yeah, so I will say on behalf of Kappa Theta Epsilon that we do encourage that every American citizen that is of age get out and vote in this election. No matter who you're going to be voting for, please exercise your right as a citizen of this country to have your voice be heard. On a personal note, I would definitely encourage everyone to pay attention to the issues in this election. There is a lot going on politically for us right now, a lot related to foreign policy that we need to be paying attention to, a lot related to monetary policy in this country, and civil liberties that is extremely important in this election. And we shouldn't just be looking at presidential candidates or the presidential tickets. We also need to be paying attention to congressional elections and things happening in our own districts that are people who are coming up for re-election. Please pay attention. It's not just about you think it would look best on Air Force One. We've got to really pay attention to the issues because this is a pivotal election for us coming out of 8 years of President Obama and his policy. Whether you are for them or against them, there is a lot of sweeping change that will be taking place, not just hinging on the future president of the United States, but also on who controls Congress for the next 4 years. So please pay attention to that. Know who your representative and your senator is, and then start looking at your state and local elections as well. All of that is extremely important. All that stuff going on with the bathroom right now, you have the power to remove those people in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Exercise your power.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that. I know that's
definitely one that could go on for another hour of show. I definitely know. Oh, my goodness. I have definitely enjoyed having you all here this evening. I want to ask you, wrapping up, at the end of the day, what is the ultimate goal of Salon? What would you guys like to do or plan on doing in the future? What are your upcoming future projects and all that good stuff?
The ultimate goal of the sorority. The fundamental vision of Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated is really simple, Bianca. It's to help women who identify as lesbian to live better lives across the board, whether that has to do with your family, your business, your day-to-day life and your impact in the community. Whatever we can do to inspire and encourage women like us to be the greatest versions of themselves possible, that's what we're here for. It's to stand in the gap and encourage and inspire those women to go out and be the most amazing example of a successful woman that you can possibly be. Forget being lesbian. Lesbian is a portion of who you are. It's not all of who you are. You know, it's a portion of who you are. It's important. But let's get away from labeling and limiting ourselves based on labels. So we want to really bring women together, have them have true friendships, and connect and support each other, celebrate each other's successes, and encourage each other to learn from our mistakes.
Absolutely.
That's
so important.
The organization's all about.
It's so important for nowadays, you know, because we have so much competition. You know, we're trying to, as women, we're trying to, so busy trying to outdo the other and not realizing, like, what powerful force we can be if we come together and work together. I mean, people have no idea, you know, what women, you know, I think as women we're very underestimated, and we have no have idea what kind of power, you know, we hold within ourselves. And so if we came and really unified with each other and created that sisterhood where we support each other, man, we could do some amazing things in this world. So
absolutely.
I definitely agree with that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I think, you know, the more that we recognize and embrace our power as women and encourage each other to do the same, the better off we'll all be. As far as projects, we always have something going on. But, you know, we really focus on leadership development, our economic empowerment, educational advancement, social impact and policy awareness, and really holistic health and wellness. Those are our fundamentals when it comes to community service-related projects. And one of our projects that's a passion project for mine that we'll be launching later on this year is called the 4UD Project, and it's a corrective rape awareness campaign. And it really became a concern of ours based on the case of Yudi Simulani, who was a world-famous football player, what we call soccer here, football and rugby player in South Africa. And she was assaulted and raped by four men in South Africa and murdered. And her case was the first in that country to ever go to trial and have an outcome where any of the assailants actually served time. They were actually sentenced, found guilty and sentenced in relation to their actions in the rape and murder of Yudi Simulani. Now, on average, there are 7 to 10 women raped, some of them murdered, in South Africa on a weekly basis. Weekly basis related to corrective rape. And if there's anybody out there who doesn't know what that is, corrective rape is an attempt to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity by forcibly sexually assaulting them. And that doesn't just happen in South Africa. It happens in Alabama and New York and California. It's just a more widely known issue in South Africa. So our goal is to inform our community. Later on this year, we'll be launching a website for the 4UE project, and we encourage everyone to stop by, learn a little bit about the statistics around corrective rape and the outcomes for the women who experienced it. So that's a big project of ours. And if anybody wants to know any more about that or anything else that we're doing, you can always visit us at kappa-theta-epsilon.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for the folks out there, I know you have your website, but you're also on social media as well. Twitter and Instagram, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're everywhere.
They are Googleable.
Yes.
They are Googleable, you guys. Well, man, it definitely has been an awesome opportunity. I have learned so much tonight, which I love the opportunity to be able to learn and get informed about various things. And so I am definitely thrilled to have you on here tonight and come on here and inform us about this awesome sorority, Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated, you guys. And, of course, with this sorority, now this is not one that I can just inbox you and say, hey, I want to be a part of this sorority, right? It's by invitation only. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's absolutely right, Bianca. It is an invitation-only organization. If you would like to be considered, we do something a few times a year called Invitational, where we consider women for membership. And if you'd like to be considered, then you can visit our website. There's a membership tab there, and there's a link
that says become a member, and it tells you about how to introduce yourself to the organization.
Okay.
It's very, very simple, and someone will reach out on our behalf to speak directly
okay.
with you.
Awesome, awesome. And I definitely like that, because you definitely want to make sure that everybody is on the same page and cohesive with one another in their mindset and so forth. So I definitely like that as well. So you guys, I will definitely be putting the website on the Beautiful Butterfly Show page on Facebook, you guys, so you guys can go there and check out more information about these lovely ladies as well. And so it's definitely been a pleasure having you on the show here tonight.
Cool.
I've definitely thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me, Bianca, and for sharing a little bit about our organization. And I think it's been a delightful conversation as well. So I appreciate
Absolutely. And I'm not that far away from Atlanta, and I do come through there from time to time. So if you guys are having stuff, I'm definitely going to have to come and try to participate and meet you guys. So I would definitely love to be able to do that sometime in the near future.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'll keep you posted. I will definitely keep you abreast of what's happening. So.
Absolutely. And, of course, do you have any final words or thoughts you want to share with the listeners out there?
Any final words? Other than whomever you are and wherever you are, just know that you are perfect and whole exactly as you are. Whether you're gay, straight, transgender, no label, whatever it is that you are exactly who you're meant to be, and you're exactly where you are meant to be as the person you are right here, right now. You are perfect, and your contribution to this world could not be made by anyone else. We love and accept you. You are always supported, and be at peace. Everything is right with the world for you right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely love that. I absolutely love that, you guys. So once again, I want to thank you so much for coming on here, and I hope you'll come back and visit with me on here again real soon. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Same to you. Same to you. I will definitely be reaching out to you directly here in a little bit.
All right.
But I want to wish your listeners the same, a wonderful, wonderful evening and a great weekend. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, you guys. That was Anna Torrey of Kappa Theta Epsilon Sorority Incorporated, you guys. And I want to thank her for coming on here and informing us and educating us on this awesome sorority, you guys. And once again, I will be putting the information out there for you guys to speak up yourself as well. And so we want to just thank you guys coming on here and tuning in with us. I see we have callers on the line listening. And to those of you listening via our app, our YRN 1328 app, available, by the way, on iPhone and Android. And for those of you who are listening via your computer or tablet, we definitely appreciate you as well. And so I am excited, you guys, where the show is headed and the network itself. And I want to invite you guys back on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have another phenomenal guest on here, you guys. We're going to have Ebony Truth come on here, and she's going to be talking about her books, A Brand New Life and so forth, and Women Empowerment. You guys know how much I love that. So Ebony Truth is going to be joining us next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show. So with that said, you guys, we're going to get ready to get out of here, and you guys have a fantastic rest of your weekend.
Lately, I've been thinking about how you drive me crazy. Everything you say. double talk, maybe. But baby, let me tell ya, I ain't playing no more. I'm ready to go big, I'm ready to make the score. I'm taking out all my weapons, I'm ready to blow. Got my guitar, got my mic, and I'm ready to show. I'm selling out concerts, telling all the people, hands up, just y'all only see me at the staples. I don't wanna feel like you don't actually care, but thinking about the shit you probably say when I ain't there.
Thank you once again for tuning in on behalf of the Vibration Radio Network.